Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome. We are live. Yep, today's March 26, 2025. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States, around the world. As you can see in back of me, we have changed for spring and summer. So over the last week, we have decorated and we have changed because things are starting to bloom, praise God. So welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you tonight. A very important night, very important things to talk about that are happening prophetically. I was in Arkansas at Apostle Clay Nash's conference, and then I spoke at the Edge Church with Dr. Dwayne Miller and his lovely wife, Cameron. We had a wonderful, wonderful time speaking there. Boy, did the Lord move. Boy, by Sunday at the Edge Church, did God move. It was really amazing, and it was wonderful to be a part of it. And so now we're back. And we're very happy to be back with you. I believe last broadcast, we had three dogs running in here and Toby yelling, Chris yelling that Toby was eating his diaper. Something was going on last broadcast that was quite amusing. And so you never know what's going to happen tonight. So you might want to share this broadcast because I never know around here who's going to come in and what's going to happen. And that's just my life. So let's see who's here. Welcome. Oh, Arkansas. We were just there. Welcome to those of you in Arkansas. North Carolina. Let's see. Georgia, Alabama, Florida. Yeah, people are laughing about that. Yep, the last broadcast. Pennsylvania, Kentucky, Ohio, Tennessee. I saw someone from South Africa. Welcome to our international audience that is now coming in. Wyoming, Michigan, Oklahoma. I'm going to be at Oklahoma in September, speaking at Clay Clark's conference there with Eric Trump, Alina Haba, and Dr. Stella Emanuel. So we'll be giving you more details to come with that. New York and New Jersey. Hello to our neighbors in New York and New Jersey. We're so happy to have you. Oregon, Washington, Idaho. Oh, let's see who else is coming in. Florida, Belgium. Hello to our friends all the way over in Belgium. You make amazing chocolate and amazing fries, I hear. So we're happy to have you here as well. Welcome to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. So if you could share this broadcast right now, we very much appreciate it. Like and subscribe. It very much helps us. We are live on quite a few platforms right now, and we are also live on our app. So what we're going to do is open up in prayer, and then we are going to get into tonight, because we have a lot of very serious prophetic things to talk about. We're in a very serious window between Purim and Passover that has been quite, we'll say, turbulent and is about to get more turbulent. And so it's a very serious window this year between that 30-day period between Purim and Passover. And we have literally seen one thing after another in rapid fire fashion occurring not only in this nation, but internationally. And we're going to get into all of that for you because there's some serious and deep prophetic insight concerning what's coming and concerning what is happening now at the moment that we're going to sort of deep dive into. So let's open up in prayer and then we'll get into tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, Father God, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way, Lord. We sin and fall short in you, Father God. We all sin and fall short, Father God. We are all imperfect, Lord. And we just ask you, forgive us, you wash us, you cleanse us, Father God. We praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He redeemed us. He reconciled us back to you, Lord. He said, it is finished at Calvary, and made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation, defeated hell, death, and the grave, miraculously rose again in 3 days, ascended back into heaven, took his rightful place at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that immense sacrifice, Father God, before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence, the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, into this place. Father, let your power, your presence, your might, your glory, Father God, mightily move right now in this place. Father, we just pray, Father God, that your presence in the name of Jesus Christ mightily goes forth now, that people tangibly feel your presence, that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, mightily goes forth right now and is the counselor and ministers to those watching, Father God, that your presence, Father God, is felt by those watching, Lord. Father, we just ask for your move, Father God, tonight, a mighty move of your power tonight, Father God. Your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask that you order our steps and order my words tonight, Father God. The steps of the righteous are indeed ordered of the Lord, Father. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. According to Ephesians chapter 6, put your whole and complete armor on me and our team today, Father God. I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, equip us with every good and perfect gift that comes from above. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me and our team, Lord, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power, Father. And Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to fill this office, to fill this property, Lord, to protect this broadcast as we mightily go forth in you, Father God. Lord, we just ask that you would bless it, Father God, that your hand would be upon it, Lord. Father, that you would take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We're most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. We are vessels molded to be receptacles for your glory, Father God. Every breath we take is because of you. We are the dust of the earth without the breath and life and spirit of God breathed into us, Father God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, interference, sabotage, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strife, and strategy that the enemy, satanic agents, dark forces, unclean spirits, familiar spirits, weak, willing vessels would attempt to move in right now. We rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ, and we command that dismantled, destroyed, disabled, nullified, voided, rendered, powerless, and dismantled, and cast back to the dry places, pits, and areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return or have anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself, Father God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. You sit on the highest throne, Father God. Let your name be glorified above all, Lord. We submit to you in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you who were jumping on during prayer. We're very happy to have you with us tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, we have a lot to go through tonight. There's so many things going on prophetically within this window we entered between Purim and Passover, and we are racing towards Passover. And we're going to get into why that is so important. But we are going to announce soon, we're going to do the Passover Seder. So if you've never done the Passover Seder, we do it live every year. We put a shopping list out for you. We tell you everything you need to get, and you can actually partake. Let me tell you, it is so important this year. When I tell you crucial, and we'll get into why, to partake in the Passover this year, it is so important after what we've just been through as a nation to partake in the Passover this year. So we're going to be announcing soon the date. We'll put the shopping list out. Please join us. We would love to have you on the live Seder with us. So getting into this window that we're in, that I was sounding the alarm about from the Lord weeks before we entered the window. Let's recap for a moment. But first of all, I got to say something. Before we recap this, I have to say something because this, people sometimes are just extra. You know, people that are just extra. And this, what? Congresswoman, Senator, her name is Jasmine Crockett, right? Well, we got a new name for her. We came up with a new name for her, and her name is Jasmine Pocket Rocket Socket Crockett. And this is what we're going to call her going forward for the extra behavior and narcissism, frankly, that she is displaying. And so that's what we are going to call her from now on, because when people get stirred up like this within this window, I'm going to tell you, demons are angry. When you see people behaving this way, the kingdom of darkness is angry. And you know why they're angry? Because it's a real bad time for them right now in this window. It is a real bad time as we come to Passover for them and their dirty deeds. And so that's what we're calling her from now on. Jasmine Pocket Rocket Socket Crockett. Okay, that's going to be, if you want to make a t-shirt out of it, be my guest. But that's what we're calling her from now on, because that is just extra. And immature, by the way, as well. That type of behavior that doesn't belong in Congress. If you want to make Congress romper room, I'll go find a bunch of five-year-olds, and they'll probably do a better job of running the country in Congress than many of them that we see now. So just wanted to say that because of what has been going on lately. And because we're in this window between Purim and Passover, let's recap what's gone on so far, because so much has happened rapid fire, and there are some very serious overturnings right now that are so prophetic that God is redeeming the time with, and that also is going to enter us into turbulence, but purposefully in order to excavate even deeper and break free even more from the grips the kingdom of darkness and that spirit of Babylon have had on the government of the United States of America. And that spirit of Babylon has some friends, right? Ashtoreth, right? And Baal, the false god of the Canaanites. And so basically, there are judgments coming down against these spirits. And they're bringing outcries in this hour. They are bringing some very serious outcries because in many ways they are losing territory. And so, but when the enemy loses territory, the enemy goes to lash out in you know, certain ways. And so let's recap what has happened so far. So on Purim, Trump Tower was stormed by pro-Palestinian protesters operating in the spirit of Amalek, the same line Haman was from in the book of Esther, who had the decree put out to destroy the Jews. The leader of ISIS in Iraq and Syria was killed on Purim. We'll get into that a little more as well. China, Russia, and Iran came together in a meeting to apply pressure on President Trump to have sanctions removed. That happened on Purim. Okay, then we enter the window. Right. OK, so where we are now, after decades, the unredacted JFK files were released and the truth finally solidified as to who assassinated JFK and the agency that was involved. The ambassador to South Africa was kicked out of the U.S. That spirit of apartheid is that same spirit like Amalek operating in a different part of the world. Within this window as well, Israel, without warning, broke a two-month ceasefire and bombed Gaza and threatened to, quote, open the gates of hell. Very interesting, given the abomination of desolation in the book of Revelation happens in Israel. The security clearances of Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton were revoked in this window. Just days ago, President Trump revoked the security clearances of Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, and a host of others, I think, which included Alvin Bragg as well. If you think about it, Haman in the book of Esther, his security clearance was revoked by the king when his plot was exposed. When Haman's plot was exposed, the king revoked Haman's security clearance, and that then led to Haman's fall. What else happened in this window? President Trump signs an executive order dismantling the Department of Education, which we are going to get into because there is something so prophetic about the timing of this happening now. Also, President Trump is to freeze tens of billions of dollars from family planning, including Planned Parenthood, while their DEI practices are examined. Also happening within the window between Purim and Passover. Isn't it interesting? In the window between Purim and Passover, we are a little over 2 weeks out from Passover, and this is the time their funds would be frozen. Which is interesting. Think about this, especially with Planned Parenthood, because the Passover in the book of Exodus had to do with the judgment upon Egypt for throwing the Hebrew baby boys into the Nile and feeding them to the crocodiles. It had to do with the innocent blood that was shed when Pharaoh gave the order to throw the baby boys into the Nile. And Passover had to do with that judgment, not only for not letting the Jews go as a people out of slavery, but for what was done to the children, the Hebrew children. And so isn't it interesting, of all times, as we're marching towards Passover, this is when their funds of all times get frozen. We did a short about that if you want to watch it, because that is prophecy fulfilling going back to 2020 when the Lord had me start prophesying that. Also, within this window, an earthquake registering 6 on the Richter scale happened in Panama. Of all places, with the Panama Canal being contended over, this happens. And February 10th was the first time I had spoken from the Lord, watch the Panama Canal. And then May 24th, 2021, again, the Lord said in a word, watch the Panama Canal. And then there was a clip that we're going to play for you right now that has me prophesying from the Lord about the Panama Canal and the Gulf of Mexico simultaneously. So we'll play that clip for you now. We'll come back to Panama. Watch the Panama Canal. There is a war brewing over that canal. There is going to be an attack on that canal. So I, in this time, would watch the Panama Canal. Okay, so something not only happened besides the earthquake in Panama between Purim and Passover, right? But BlackRock is involved. And let's put up this article because you need to see this. This is why there's a war that's going to happen. Anytime this gets involved, you see something catastrophic be attempted. Now look at that. Look at the headline: "Devil in the Details of the Hutchison BlackRock Panama Ports Deal." Now, the devil is in the details. Isn't that interesting? You're hearing rhetoric within this window between Purim and Passover. You have Israel saying they threaten to open the gates of hell. You've got this having to do with Panama saying the devil is in the details. Let me tell you something. The enemy is on the move. The enemy right now is on the move to try to preemptively strike right now within this window, because interests are being dismantled on the kingdom of darkness. And it says, devil in the details of the Hutchison BlackRock Panama ports deal. Hong Kong-based port operator has to contend with local politics and mounting pressure from the U.S., which wants to reduce mainland Chinese influence. And so basically, it says a sale by Hong Kong-based CK Hutchison of its overseas ports, including 2 in Panama, to a BlackRock consortium continues to stir debate as to its eventual outcome. So BlackRock is now involved in this. So just keep that in mind. And then China is apparently not happy about this and what is going on. And in the middle of the contending for the ports in Panama, there is an earthquake that registers 6 on the Richter scale, all within the window between Purim and Passover. Do I think that's a coincidence? No, I do not. I believe this is a very turbulent window. It is an appointed time by God, this next 30 days. And this is why you see one after the other, a domino effect happening, and why you're seeing one thing after the other be dismantled in this time, because there's some very serious, deep, prophetic things we have to get into with some of this. So what we're going to do is we're also going to pull the book of Ezra and Esther into it, and we're going to go from there, and we're going to connect it, including to why J.D. Vance is an important piece in this also. Okay, so for where we're going right now, I want to show you a connection between the book of Esther and the book of Ezra. They both begin with the letter E, which is interesting. Ezra precedes Esther, and they both have 10 chapters, and both follow the timeline of John 10:10. If you remember, in December of 2024, I said with the school assault that happened in Madison, Wisconsin, I had said the enemy is attempting to set the agenda of the first part of John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the other part of that, but I, the Lord, have come to give life and life more abundant. Both Ezra and Esther have 10 chapters, and this verse in John is 10:10. Okay? The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance. So Ezra and Esther both go in order of this, because the decrees of destruction, the stop work orders, the robbing of the people of God of what has been given unto them, both initially happens first in Ezra and Esther. The thief comes in with decrees of destruction, with stop work orders, with trying to rob the people of God of their inheritance, rob them of what God wants to give them, rob them of rebuilding the ruins that God has commissioned them to rebuild. Then by order of the king, both in Ezra and Esther, both times a new decree is written, reversing the decrees of the stop work orders, the smear campaigns, and the decrees of the destruction of the people of God. And by the end of both Ezra and Esther, there is reconciliation amongst the people and God, and they enjoy life in abundance. So both Ezra and Esther follow John 10:10. And in Ezra chapter 4, now this is where it's going to get interesting, and we're going to tie this all into the Department of Education. We're going to tie this into quite a bit. In Ezra chapter 4, it's the men of Susa that help lead a charge to sabotage the people of God from rebuilding the ruins in the temple that they had been left with. In the book of Esther, it also takes place in the capital of Susa, which in modern day is the Iranian city of Shush, which is really what Iran should be doing right now. They should be shushing up, shutting their mouths, and knocking it off, for they're going to be shaken in this time if they don't stop. So both Ezra and Esther take place in Susa. Now, both times, that is where trouble is birthed for the people of God, to stop the people of God from doing the work they've been called to do. So those who rose up against Ezra and the people with the stop work orders, that was birthed out of Susa. And Susa is where Haman birthed the plot and then tricked the king into sending out a decree of destruction against the people of God who were in covenant with God in his nation. So if we take a look at Ezra 4, verses 11 through 15 for a minute. Now, I'm going to tell you something interesting about this. Ezra 4, 11 through 15, if you add 4, 11, and 15, you get 30. 30 is the number of pieces of silver that Jesus Christ was betrayed for. And this chapter and these verses are all about betrayal, which is interesting. Ezra 4, 11 through 15. This is a copy of the letter which they sent to him. To King Artaxerxes, from your servants, the men in the region west of the Euphrates River. And now let it be known to the king that the Jews who came up from you have come to us at Jerusalem. They are rebuilding this rebellious and evil city and are finishing its walls and repairing the foundations. Okay. The enemy always wants to call you what he is himself. He's calling them rebellious and evil. During 2020 to 2024, what were Christians called by the Biden administration? It's the same spirit. It's the same ancient spirit that operated then and now. We were called rebellious. We were called evil. We were called terrorists. We were called nationalists. It's the same spirit. They are rebuilding this rebellious and evil city and are finishing its walls and repairing the foundations. Now let it be known to the king that if that city is rebuilt and the walls are finished, then they will not pay tax, custom, or toll. That's a lie. And the revenue of the kings will be diminished. Now, because we are in the service of the palace and it is not proper for us to witness the king's dishonor, for that reason, we have sent word and informed the king in order that a search may be made in the record books of your fathers. And you will discover in the record books and learn that this is a rebellious city, damaging to kings and provinces, and that in the past they have incited rebellion within it. What were those who supported President Trump accused of on January 6th? Inciting rebellion, insurrection. And the end of the verse says that is why that city was laid waste or destroyed. Now, that's Ezra 4, 11 through 15. Now, go to Esther chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. It's very similar writing. It's a very similar case made. You know why? Because it's the same spirit. In the first month, the month of Nisan, which is March to April, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, Haman cast pur, that is the lot, cast before him day after day to find a lucky day to approach the king. Month after month until the 12th month, the month of Adar, which is February to March. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all the other people, and they do not observe the king's laws. They're rebellious. It's the same spirit. It's the same argument. Therefore, it is not in the king's interest to tolerate them and let them stay here. If it pleases the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry out the king's business to put in the king's treasuries, which he would have taken from plundering the Jews. Then the king removed his signet ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. Now, 10,000 talents is equal to 30 million shekels. Jesus Christ was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. 30 million shekels is to betray an entire nation. Just think about that for a second. Now, just to point something very interesting out. President Trump first took office in 2016. 12 years from that time would bring us right to 2028. Which is going to be a cataclysmic year, which we'll get into in a bit. Why am I saying that? Because in the first verse of Esther 3, in the first month, the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, 12 years from the time Donald Trump first took office would put us right at 2028. And Esther 3, 7 through 10, I'm going to highlight it, has a lot to do with 2028, and we'll get into how in a little bit, but it has a lot to do with it. So I'm going to highlight it here and make sure that we have it completely covered. Okay, here we go. Okay, so just keep that in mind because we're going to come back to that prophetically. So a betrayal being perpetrated against a people in this nation and against the people of God in Israel around the 2028 marker. There's going to be a major betrayal that is perpetrated against a people in this nation and against the people of God in Israel around the 2028 marker. Now, we'll get back to that. So with Ezra and Esther, first there is a stop work order given from that letter sent in the book of Ezra. And there is an order of destruction given in the book of Esther to stop the people of God. Ezra chapter 4, the stop work order was given. So think about this. In Ezra 4 is when the stop work order is given for the rebuilding that they were doing. Because the corrupt people in the land didn't want to see them prosper. And in 2020, for 4 years, there was a stop work order. Ezra 4 is the stop work order. 2020 for 4 years to 2024, there is a stop work order. after the 2020 election. The work was disrupted. It was halted by those in the land that saw people of faith who loved the Lord and who loved their nation as a problem. And they saw Ezra and those with him because they loved the Lord and they loved the land as a problem. And Haman deceived King Ahasuerus and made him believe that Esther and Mordecai's people who loved the Lord and loved the land they were in were a problem. Now, February 10th, 2020, I'm going to read the word of the Lord to you. This is over 4 years old, this word, when it was given. However, says the Lord thy God, as King Cyrus was operated through mightily by me to issue a decree that protected my people and put the builders to work, rebuilding my house of worship, rebuilding what is holy, rebuilding what had been bulldozed by pagan nations before them. So I, the Lord thy God, am giving the builders and the visionaries the materials, the vision, the words of prophecy, as I sent the prophets Haggai and Zechariah to encourage and speak into Zerubbabel, Ezra, and those who were with him, building. So I, the Lord thy God, am doing the same, and I have raised those up and am raising those up in the younger generation who will speak to a nation and bring those who once opposed me and my will turn them for my glory to build for the Lord of hosts, to speak forth and encourage those fighting to build the holiness back up in the United States of America and around the world. For my glory, says the Lord thy God, this day. As I operated through, that's capitals, King Cyrus, so I, the Lord God Jehovah, shall operate through leadership to issue decrees and edicts and orders to build up and begin to push out those who want to ensnare and trap, entice, says the Lord. There are those on the airwaves who I am silencing. Now, that was put out February 10th, 2020. And we see what's happening now. The decrees are going out. The decrees are going out to dismantle and to rebuild. We are in a season of decrees and dismantling. The dismantling decree is sent out, and then the rebuilding decree has been sent out. We are in a season of that. We are in a season of decrees of dismantling and of rebuilding. Now, in Ezra 4, the work stops. Then in chapter 5, this is where it's going to get interesting. King Darius emerges. So Ezra 5, we now see King Darius the Mede, and he's ruling. And if you think about it, Donald Trump, President Trump's first year right now in office of his second term, is really his fifth year as president. He served 4 years from 2016 to 2020. There was a stop work order. Now it's resuming. And now this is the fifth year he is serving as president. And in Ezra 5, we see King Darius emerge. And you see the prophets Haggai and Zechariah emerge, standing against the adversaries who are writing Darius, attempting to stand against the work. The adversaries are drafting legal documents and sending them to Darius in an attempt to legally continue to halt the work God has ordained his people to do. And in chapter 6, Darius finds the decree of Cyrus. So as they are attempting a continued block against the work, Darius goes digging. There is an excavation and a search of the records. And this is when the decree of Cyrus is found. So when Darius decides to excavate and dig into the records and dig into the government and dig into the King's Chronicles and dig into the logs that they've kept, this is when he finds the decree of Cyrus. Ezra 6, verses 7 through 8 says, and this is Darius talking, leave the work on this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish elders rebuild this house of God on its site. Also, I issue a decree as to what you are to do for these Jewish elders for the rebuilding of this house of God. The full cost is to be paid to these people from the royal treasury out of the taxes of the provinces west of the river, and that without delay. Did you hear me talking about Cyrus? Say, oh, Mom, I heard you talking about King Cyrus, and I just had to come immediately and be part of the story. Where's the shofar, Cyrus? Where's the shofar? Oh, good boy, you touched the shofar. Okay. Isn't that funny, Cyrus? I'm talking Cyrus, and I'm reading the decree of Cyrus, and in walks Cyrus. God's got an amazing sense of humor. Okay, so Darius orders the rebuilding to continue. He then orders that the full cost is to be paid for the rebuilding of the people of God out of the royal treasury and the taxes of the provinces. Okay. Now, so the people of the land, the corrupted people that attempted to stop the work, well, King Darius found their tax money, found Cyrus's decree, and now ordered that the tax money of the corrupt in the provinces who tried to stop the people of God, that tax money now be used to pay for the work of the people of God to rebuild what God has ordained. Because what God has ordained to be rebuilt in this nation and rebuilt for his people. Isn't it interesting? They are finding all these misappropriated funds, funds from corrupt departments, funds that were refunneled. They're finding stop work orders. Isn't that interesting? They're finding all of this right now. In the fifth year that Donald Trump is president, just like in Ezra 5. So it's very interesting how this is lining up, because the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. And just as Darius said to the people of the province, now you're going to pay for the construction project and the rebuilding that God has ordained, because they are the ones that attempted to stop the work. So now all the funds that are being found, because they're digging into the records, Doge is digging into the records. You've got people right now in the administration digging into the records, finding all of this in misappropriated funds, and are saying, we are going to refunnel this now to pay for the rebuilding of this nation and to make it even more interesting. If you go to Esther chapter 5, Haman has a 50 cubit gallows built. A cubit is from here to here. It's equal to about 75 feet, 50 cubits. 50. Isn't it interesting that J.D. Vance is the 50th vice president in this time and in this season? 50. Having to do with the Jubilee. A Jubilee year is the 50th, where what has been stolen must be returned, the land is given back to the people, slaves are set free. Isn't it interesting? Of all times, the 50th vice president could emerge. It is in this time. That is no accident at all. That is prophetic, and that is a sign of the times. I'll tell you what else is a sign. The fact that JD's middle name is David. And he is David, and he's the 50th vice president. A 50 cubit foot gallows that would have been the demise of Mordecai, as Haman boasted about all his wealth that would eventually go to Mordecai. That 50 cubit foot gallows was the sign of the demise of the house of Haman, and that the Lord was divinely reversing that decree of destruction. And the fact that J.D. Vance is the 50th vice president is a sign in this time of the decrees of destruction being reversed. It's a sign. Of all times, we could have the 50th vice president, whose middle name happens to be David. It's now. That is by no accident. That is by no mistake. That is prophetic timing. And what God has ordained be rebuilt in this nation and be rebuilt in your lives. The resources of the wicked and the corrupt are being taken to accomplish such in this time. For the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous, and the enemy is going to now have to pay for the rebuild and restoration of what he attempted to steal from this nation, what he attempted to steal from the lives of the people of God. This is an appointed time where the enemy has to pay back sevenfold what he stole and lynched from your lives, lynch from the people of God, tried to lynch from this nation. It's an appointed time. A very important appointed time. An appointed time where what has been taken from the people of God that have been faithful has to be paid back to them in this time. And on top of it, in the book of Ezra, Darius makes the people of the provinces who attempted to stop the Lord's work have to pay for it now. Just like all of these corrupt channels of money that were funneled to the wrong places now is being taken from them. And now that money is being reassigned to pay for the work ahead, to pay for the rebuilding. They have to pay for it because they are the ones that attempted to stop the work. All those false news outlets being paid for through USAID that was taken from them, that is what is going to pay now for the work to rebuild, to restore and renew our covenant with the Lord, to consecrate ourselves before the Lord, to restore the ruins, to rebuild the broken down walls, to rebuild the former desolations. Proverbs 15:22 says, without consultation and wise advice, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they are established and succeed. On Friday, March 21st, 2025, something happened in this window from Purim to Passover. Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris had their security clearances taken from them swiftly. March 12th, 2025, in the word of the Lord, 9 days prior to this, the Lord said in capitals, the hunter shall become the hunted, shall echo again in this time, in this season. And around the same time, at the beginning of Purim, the head of ISIS in Iraq and Syria was killed. This happening on Purim is not only prophetic, it is the Lord making a very strong decree in this time that his enemies and those that have continued to blaspheme his name and attempted the destruction against his people, that in this time they shall be hunted and Iran is next and their leadership is next. That's the time it's right now. That is the time we are at. That is the hour we are at. I believe Iran is going to be tempted to make a very foolish move closer to Passover that will cause a cornerstone of their leadership to be removed. That's coming. Now, something else happened in this window that is so highly prophetic for the time we are entering. And what it is President Trump wrote an executive order dismantling the Department of Education within this window between Purim and Passover. Kind of like how Mordecai and Esther wrote an order by approval of the king to send out an edict dismantling the plans of Haman that went out ahead to destroy the people of God. Now, why is this so prophetic? The Department of Education was established October 17th, 1979. 10-17-1979. 9/11 is in that date. 9/11 is within the date of the creation of the Department of Education. And this department federally that did so much to attempt to undermine the family unit, destroy the children of this nation, destroy their minds, open a gate from hell to strip them of their ability to critically think of morality and of faith in Almighty God. Isn't it interesting that prayer was taken out of schools in America? Engel versus Vitale in 1962. And 17 years later, the Department of Education was established in 1979 on October 17th. 17 years later, after prayer is taken out of schools, on October 17th, that is when the Department of Education is created. 46 years later, after it's created, within the window between Purim and Passover, it is ordered dismantled. 46 years after the Department of Education is created, within this window between Purim and Passover, there is an executive order written and it is dismantled. 46. Isn't it interesting that it's 46 years? First off, because the 46th presidency in 2020 is the one that was taken, a bait and switch occurring to attempt to undermine another election. The 46th presidency in 2020 is the one that was taken. And 46 years later, after the creation of the Department of Education, with the 46th presidency being the one that was taken from Donald Trump, at this appointed time, the Department of Education is dismantled. That is not an accident. That is prophetic timing and an appointed time, because the Lord is redeeming the time through ways like this. After 46 years, the dismantling has begun with the 46th presidency being the one that was taken from Donald Trump. And now he steps into the 47th. And in the window between Purim and Passover, 46 years later, the executive order is written because he's compelled by God to do this. That is not an accident. Isaiah 46, since it's 46 years later, and we're talking about the 46th presidency, Isaiah 46, verses 8 through 13. Remember this and take courage. Take it to heart, you rebellious and disloyal people. Remember carefully the former things which I did from ages past. For I am God, and there is no one else. I am God, and there is no one like me, declaring the end and the result from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things which have not yet been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will do all that pleases me and fulfills my purpose. Verse 11. Calling a bird of prey from the east. This is Isaiah 46. A bald eagle, by the way, is also a bird of prey. Calling a bird of prey from the east, from a far country, the man, Cyrus of my purpose. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Be assured I will do it. Listen to me, you stiff-necked people, you who are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It is not far away, and my salvation will not delay, and I will grant salvation in Zion and my glory for Israel. Isaiah 46, calling a bird of prey from the east. After 46 years, God has called Donald Trump to dismantle the Department of Education. And that's Isaiah 46. And it's 46 years after its creation, it's being dismantled between Purim and Passover. And the 46th presidency is the one that was taken from President Trump. And now God is redeeming the time. That is no accident. Calling a bird of prey from the east. Isn't that interesting? President Trump now lives on the East Coast, between Washington, D.C. and Florida. From a far country, the man, Cyrus of my purpose. Truly, I've spoken it. Truly, I will bring it to pass, says the Lord. These things are happening at appointed times, and this is an appointed time by God. Please, please keep the Passover this year. Every year on Ark of Grace, we live stream, and Chris and I do the Passover Seder, and we'll be doing it this year as well. But this is a year of promotion amongst the tumult for the people of God. Mordecai was promoted amongst the tumult of what Haman had done, since this is a time, a window of promotion for God's people. Please keep the Passover, because it will open a very significant door to your promotion. And Dr. Dwayne Miller of Edge Church said something, and it reminded me of a vision I had in 2016. It reminded me of a vision I had in 2016. And in 2016, right when the primary debates were happening, I had an open vision. There was a very large tree and it looked dead. Not one leaf was on it. And the area looked stormy. And suddenly a bald eagle comes and perches on the tree. And then a group of black crows comes and surrounds the bald eagle on the tree. And it looked as if the crows had the eagle completely surrounded. Suddenly, the eagle rocketed at a 90-degree angle straight up and perched at the very, very top of the tree. And the eagle maneuvered in a way the crows could not. Now, when I had that vision, I now realized that was about 2020 to 2024 and what was to come. When the eagle was surrounded by an act of God, mounted up, caught an updraft, and perched at the very top of that tree, which represented the executive branches of government. The eagle perched atop the highest position. I add this vision was Donald Trump was in the primaries against 12 plus other candidates. And it had to do with 2020 to 2024 when all the lawfare started and the indictment started. And it looked as if the eagle was surrounded. And a sudden updraft rocketed it to a place where the crows could not go. Interestingly enough, in the book of Exodus 19, verse 4, it says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, and therefore, if you will in fact obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own special possession and treasure amongst all the peoples of the world, for the earth is mine." Now, a blood moon marked Purim this year, and a blood moon marks Purim next year on March 3rd. The blood moon will go from March 3rd to March 4th. Purim is March 2nd to 3rd next year. 2 years in a row, the Lord is marking Purim with a blood moon that is visible in the United States of America. The first 2 years of Donald Trump's second term are being marked by blood moons on Purim. Also, September 7th, there is a blood moon, 4 days prior to 9/11, within the holy month of, that contains Rosh Hashanah. So within the first 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency, there are three blood moons marking two Purims and marking September, which is also a high holy day month. So March and September are marked this year. And could this be that the Lord is trying to say something about this presidency and what we will endure as a nation, as well as what we just endured as a nation? We as a nation just experienced a Purim type event in the 2024 election. We as a nation of faith were marked for destruction. Donald Trump and his family were marked for destruction. And the Lord, in a powerful way, reversed the decrees of destruction that went out and gave an incredible victory. However, the decrees that were sent out by Haman were still active. So even though Haman's plot was found out and Haman was destroyed, the decrees were still active. So Esther and Mordecai had to legally write new decrees to reverse the active decree by Haman that was still legally active within Persia and in the realm of the spirit. This is why these first 2 years of blood moons and Purims will be marked by historic reversals and writing of decrees, which are executive orders, to override the active decrees of destruction that are still at play. I'm also going to say this, around the time of June, very serious, you have to pray and intercede, because the Lord had said before the inauguration, in a word I delivered, he would sift the administration within the first 3 months, and within the first 6 months, he was going to shake it. That puts us at June. For things to shake, temptations and delicate dainties have to be presented and dangled. Pray and intercede that President Trump does not take those, that he recognizes the temptation, that he recognizes it in time. Jeremiah 30, verses 8 through 9. "It shall come about on that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break the yoke off your neck. I will tear off your bonds and force apart your shackles, and strangers will no longer make slaves of the people. but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. That's Jeremiah 38 through 9. If you add 30 plus 8 plus 9, you get 47, which is the presidency we are currently in right now, dealing with the breaking of the false yoke and the shackles and the bonds off of this nation, off of the government, off of the church, off of the people of God. Now, this is where it's going to get even more interesting. And I'm going to go through this very fast. 2028 is our next election year. 2028 is also the next Shemitah year on the Jewish calendar. A Shemitah happens every 7 years. It takes seven Shemitahs to make a Jubilee. Very serious world events are known to happen on Shemitah years. The 2008 banking crisis happened on a Shemitah year. Okay, it was also an election year. Stock market crashes have happened on Shemitah years. Also, the Great Depression, World War II, and 9/11 all happened during Shemitah years. Isn't that interesting that 9/11 happened on a Shemitah year and that President Trump's two terms equal 9/11? 45th, 4 plus 5 is 9. 47th president, 4 plus 7 is 11. 9/11. The Shemitah year begins September 20th, 2028, less than 2 months before the next election, and will run to September 2029. That means not only the election, but the first 9 months in office, the president who wins 2028 will be dealing with their first year in office colliding with the Shemitah year. Now, this is a mirror image of 2008. This is a 20-year cycle we are dealing with. 2008, George Walker Bush was exiting office when the banking crisis happened. So the beginning of his presidency, marked by a Shemitah year, 9/11 happens. And the end of his presidency, 2008, another Shemitah year occurs. And the 2008 banking crisis happens. 2028 would be a 20-year cycle concluding from Bush leaving office and the banking crisis occurring and Barack Obama being elected. And the people they're grooming for 2028, in some ways, are going to make Barack Obama look like a drop in the bucket. The last Shemitah year began September 2021. It was Joe Biden's first year in office. And we were in the middle. Actually, no, it was his second year in office because it started his first year. No, because he took office, yeah, January 2021. So Joe Biden's first year in office is when the last Shemitah year happened and we were immersed in COVID. Now, again, a president's first year in office in 2029 will be a Shemitah year. 2028 is 5786. The six is Vav in Hebrew, and it literally means hook, to snag, to connect. It means to transform past into future or future into past. That's why it's a 20-year cycle. So it would read 5786, grace, sword, life, hook. There is a hook at the end. A hook is also something that catches and suddenly snags. Bait is put on a hook. A hook snags and catches on what it enters. 2028 has a hook. The next Shemitah year has a hook. Here's where it gets even more interesting. And I'm sounding the alarm again. 2028 is also a Jewish leap year. It's a Jewish leap year because there are two Adars, Adar 1 and Adar 2, which means there are two Purims, Purim Katan, little Purim, and Purim, double Purims. 2028, Jewish leap year, election year, Shemitah year, and double Purims. Also in 2028, a lunar eclipse, a blood moon is happening New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2028, and goes into next year, January 1st, 2029. Blood moon on a Shemitah year. Think about this for a minute. 2028, the next election year, is a Shemitah year, is a Jewish leap year with two Purims and a blood moon during that time. We are in for quite a cataclysmic, historic, and double reversal because it's two Purims. a destruction that tries to cut two ways in this nation in 2028. On top of that, the Olympics are coming to American soil, Los Angeles, in 2028, where those fires torched over 23,000 acres. We have all these events colliding in the next election year and into the first year of the next president, which is exactly why they chose to bring the Olympics in an election year, in a Shemitah year, in a Jewish leap year with two Purims to the state of California, which has portals from hell operating, where Newsom is the governor because he is one of their anointed ones. He's being groomed. I'm telling you, though, they're going to jump the gun and make a move too quick because of pride. The symbol of pride shall be displayed before their fall. And as I was doing this today and listening, I heard, watch the Golden Gate Bridge. Watch the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm going to read this last part to you here. It's March 12th, 2025, word from the Lord. For I, the Lord, shall allow the economy to shake in your nation, says the Lord. I shall allow such. I, the Lord, shall break bilateral deals. I shall bring forth and teach my people what my economy, capitals, is, says the Lord. I shall in this time shake the Federal Reserve, says the Lord. I shall allow a breach at the forts to expose an even deeper threat that is moved about, hidden by aid and finances, hidden by agencies. For the surface has just been scratched, says the Lord, as to the darkness and corruptness that has been hidden away in vaults within codes that have been continued on for decades, says the Lord. What is laid hidden for decades and evaded truth in this time, in this season, shall drill and excavate down to the root. And what is been hidden for decades with unresolved crime, highly publicized unresolved crime. Heists that were never solved. National events and shakings that the truth was buried far beneath a wall of tape and lies. What banks have hidden for decades. What the church has hidden for decades. What fell decades ago. What was attacked and bombed decades ago in this season. The truth shall come forth. And says the Spirit, capitals, hear ye this day, the inhabitants of the earth. The Lord strong and mighty has taken his justice seat. The Lord strong and mighty is speaking forth reversals into the earth. The Lord strong and mighty has come forth from his holy habitation to deal with the wicked matters of men and nations and to ratify an excavation, a season of excavation and tearing up and breaking up what has been embedded for decades amongst the soil of your governments, what has been embedded for decades amongst the church, amongst denominations that have been nothing more than four stone walls for decades with stagnant air and no move of the Spirit of God. The excavation shall expose a stagnation and a deflation within the nations, within the house of God, within nations that have appeared dormant until now, Italy. However, in this season shall be rattled and shaken at the word of the Lord God Almighty in order to fool the governments and free the people, says the Spirit. The Lord with his hand outstretched in scrolls of redemption, recompense, and scrolls of rectification are now going forth into the earth, says the Spirit. Humble yourselves before the Lord, capitals, maker of the heavens and the earth, creator and sustainer of every planet, of every block of time, of the foundations of the earth that are held in place by what proceeds from the mouth of the everlasting Almighty God. That is the time we're in. That is the time we're in. This is appointed time and season of decrees of dismantling and decrees of rebuilding, of stop work orders being reversed. This is a very serious next 4 years where the people of God and the church better get into order and do their jobs. Because 2028, the alarm is being sounded now. So please keep that in mind. Please keep that in mind. And we have a couple of videos for you too, but for a few minutes, we're going to bring on Andrew Sorcini because within this window, there are things happening in the markets as well, prophetically, that we need to discuss. So let's bring him on.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I'm good, good. I enjoyed listening for the last 30 minutes. It's been very, very interesting stuff. Again, letting us know that some things are coming down the pike here.
Yes, they are. So tell us what's happening, Andrew.
Well, the biggest thing is the April 2nd tariff date.
Yes.
Today, we saw the first stock market reaction to that, and it was really ugly.
What happened?
So today, like pretty much much of the big stocks, like the Magnificent Seven, like yes, everything was in the red today. And not just a little bit, a lot. Okay. Like companies like NVIDIA were down like almost 4%.
So in this window between Purim and Passover, the stock market plummeted.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. It had been relatively good in the days up to now. Mm-hmm. And looking here, it was down quite a bit. And the Dow futures just opened and they're down 132 points. NASDAQ down 372 points. And that's for tomorrow's market.
Wow.
It could get a much worse if the foreign markets follow suit. So we knew that there would be volatility with some of the moves that Trump's doing to kind of set the country in the right direction. And this really isn't a time to be greedy in the market. It's time to kind of pull back a little bit and just be conservative. As the market resets, there's going to be a lot of bargains out of there. If you go back into stocks after being out for some time, but I think it'll probably be at least 6 months before it's safe to get back out there.
You know what's interesting, Andrew? Stock market crashes have happened on Shemitah years, which is coming in 2028. Isn't that interesting? Our next election year.
So are some of those years like 1987 and
2000? Yeah, the Great Depression, World War II, I think it was, and also 9/11, which the stock market reacted to when 9/11 happened. So it's just interesting. And now we're in the window between Purim and Passover, which is a very turbulent window. It's an appointed window. And so watching this happen now is just, it's quite interesting.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, its relation to gold and silver, in my opinion, are this. Gold and silver, as we know, have been heavily manipulated for a very, very long time, especially silver, and manipulated by the big banks. And if we're really looking at like 25% tariffs on all all cars that are not American cars, or any vehicles, that's going to wreak havoc on the market. And that's really going to hurt the stock market. And that's going to prop up gold and silver. And I really wish that gold and silver were being pushed up in value by like the fundamentals of what they do.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it takes events like this. You know, today at one point, silver was almost $34 an ounce.
Wow, okay.
If it closes above that, okay, that'll be the first time in many years. It could shoot to 40 relatively soon. Gold is one big day away from an all-time high and has been for a few days now. And I believe that these events next week are going to push gold to a new high and silver past 34, close to 35. And all these Arca Grace listeners that have been investing in silver and gold will be giving themselves a pat on the back, as many of them already have been over the past 4 years.
What events are happening next week?
Well, it's that April 2nd tariffs deadline. And, you know, sometimes it's the rumor or the announcement that moves the market. And then on that date, sometimes nothing happens. But I do think that on that date, something is going to happen. I think it'll be very bad for stocks and possibly every day until then, which means gold and silver will go up.
Well, it's interesting, Andrew, because it's still that window between Purim and Passover until April 14th. It's a 30-day window.
Yeah.
And you see very serious events happen within that window.
It's true. And then also we're starting to head toward the tax deadline. And I realize like here in California, it's been extended for 6 months because of the wildfires. Mm-hmm. But most of the country, they have the tax deadline. So if they're looking at a volatile market like this, they're not likely to stay in some of these stocks. They may sell some stocks to pay taxes. And that's another thing that could potentially draw the stock market down and metals up. And again, that falls, how close is that to the window that you're talking about?
Okay, so the window, Passover begins April 14th. So you close that window, right? And then you have April 14th to April 22nd, which is Passover.
Okay.
Which is a separate, it's a separate window. So you kind of have this 30-day window and then you have the 8-day window.
So we're in the 8-day Passover window then.
Okay, so, for that. Okay.
Yeah. I think that this is a time to just be really, really conservative. And but I do urge people that if they do reach out to us and add to their precious metals holdings, to do so thinking that it's a long-term investment. So it really is. Silver can take a long time to where you can actually sell it for a profit if that's what your goal is. That should be our secondary goal. Our primary goal is to protect everything that we've worked for. And I would like to share an example that that I shared on one other interview earlier today, but it pertains to you because it's someone that that was referred to us through Ark of Grace, along with one of the other ministries. Mm-hmm. And this morning I was doing like wire transfers where some people sometimes, yes, unfortunately have to sell their gold and silver. And a client of ours, I was sending her a wire transfer that was over $500,000. And I go, oh, let's take a look and see what she's selling. So it was, uh-huh, time to pay her, but I just wanted to see what she had sold us. And it was a whole lot of silver. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, why would somebody want to sell that much silver right now? And when I was entering the address, I saw the name of Pacific Palisades, mm-hmm, which is a city here that almost completely, yeah, burned down, yeah, during the wildfires. And so immediately I text my back office and said, hey, is this client, like, did their home burn down? And they go, yeah, and sent me a screenshot of the block and completely leveled. And I just want to point out that even though this is like a very sad story, and I do feel for that client, and you're definitely in our prayers, when people invest in gold and silver, we do it for exactly that reason. We're storing it somewhere safe and we're keeping, yeah, it there for emergency. And we try to only sell it when there is an emergency.
Yes.
And it turns out that I found out more information that she was selling it to buy a new home. Yeah. Exactly why it was there, because the insurance companies aren't in any hurry yet
to pay these people out. No.
Yeah, it's going to be a very long time. And she's fortunate enough that she's able to meet that end. Unfortunately, it comes at selling, you know, silver before the miracle, but that's okay. That's, yeah, how she preserves everything that they've worked for. It's probably in the house and in the silver. But here's the reason why I really wanted to bring it up. We offer third-party storage, okay? And this is where, yes, it's a depository, and it's in Delaware. And this is a depository that I use to store the majority of our metals. And we transfer it into retirement accounts from that same account. Uh-huh. And it's insured. And when I saw that we had already received her silver, I was like, well, where did we receive it from? And I saw that it was a transfer from her storage account in Delaware to our storage account in Delaware. She was very smart. She had it stored at the third-party storage. The alternative would be to have it at home, where it would have completely burned at the home, mm-hmm, during the fire.
That's true.
So she was protected from that. And for all the people that do have gold and silver at their home, I prefer myself to have a big chunk of it at home, if not most of it. But I just, this kind of wakes us up to the idea that if you feel that you have a significant amount of gold and silver, you might want to have it at different locations.
Yes. So, yeah, that's a good idea, Andrew. Very good idea.
I think it is. And it's insured while it's in the depository. And in the insurance, in the small print, it says, you'll like this part, it's insured against acts of God.
Oh, it's insured against acts of God. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Very interesting.
Bo Polny always loves that because he says that it's going to take an act of God to make it so that the big banks that manipulate the price of metals, especially silver, can no longer do it. And that's what's actually going to help the gold and silver go up, yes, in value. But either way, I just thought I wanted to mention that.
I think that's interesting, Andrew. I like that. And so we have the Cyrus coin with Andrew, and the front of it is Cyrus, and it says Cyrus, faithful shepherd, having to do with, you know, what we were just talking about too, Isaiah 46, I believe it's Isaiah 51 too. And then the back of it is the ark with the dove with the olive branch coming. In God we trust, saving grace, because that who is our saving grace in this, it's Almighty God. So this coin was basically created to have a prophetic sort of statement on it, both the front and the back. So you could just call Andrew and ask for the Cyrus coin if you want, and him and his team will be more than happy to help you. They love hearing from our viewers. So we have all the information on the screen. So please, please give him a call.
Yeah, just one more thing to add on, and yeah, it's about the Cyrus coin.
Yeah.
So a lot of people call us and they say, I want a monster box of silver eagles or a monster box of silver. And it refers to this plastic box of silver eagles that has like 500 one-ounce coins in it. But then when the people from Ark of Grace reach out, they say, hey, is there a monster box for the Cyrus coin? And there is. It's a box of tubes of 20. So The Cyrus coins come in tubes of 20 coins, and 25 tubes come in a box, which is exactly 500 coins. Okay. And that's an excellent investment. It doesn't come in a big plastic box, but it does come in a nice box where they fit in nicely and they can stack. Some people can get go in with family members and get a half a box, or you can get two or three boxes. But we've had people ask a lot recently, and I just wanted to address that. And then just one other thing. We've had overwhelming support and people reaching out through Ark of Grace. And I found it most helpful if people were to send a text to the 310 telephone okay. number or an email with their phone number and full name. And that way I can have somebody get with you as quickly as possible for my sales team.
Okay, wonderful. So either text the 310 number on the screen or email andrew@bh-pm.com with your telephone number. So that's the instructions from Andrew, and his team will be more than happy to help you. Andrew, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, and I look forward to being back on soon. And next time we're on together, let's talk about what happened here during these two windows.
We most certainly will, Andrew. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Wonderful. See, now we're getting Andrew Sorcini involved in the window between Purim and Passover. Now he's going to be watching that too and thinking about that when things happen now. So I like that a lot. Okay, a few more things. I have two videos for you. So stay on. You're going to want to see these videos. Let me play them very fast for you. The first one is of Esther and what I went through this morning with her. And the second one, Chris was in the kitchen out loud reading Psalm 91. And it was just so precious that I filmed part of it for you to see. So we're going to play both of them now. All right, my pillow's on the floor. What are you doing?
See, Mom, I'm in my happy place right now, having spring dreams. Please don't bother me. Please don't bother me, Mom. I'm having spring dreams right now. As I'm knocking over your pillow, you knocked over the flowers. And now you're just having yourself some fun, aren't you, Esther? Aren't you? Say, oh, yes, Mom. Yep, sweet dreams.
You will just set tread on the lion and the cobra. You will counter, strengthen,
and that was this morning, actually. So both of those videos were from today. Esther, and I don't think she's there now. No, she's not there now. And Chris reading Psalm 91 in the kitchen this morning. Cyrus is now barking because he heard himself barking on that video. And now Cyrus is running around barking. I don't know if you can hear him or not. Also, April 1st, the Revelationary War comes out live. So April 1st is the official book release. If you go to arkofgrace.org, you can pre-order on Amazon right now. It is on the front page of arkofgrace.org. We also have two buttons on the front page that you can take a look at as well when you first go on. And if you'd like to get our newsletter. But yes, April 1st, this comes out everywhere. So we're very excited about this. I praise the Lord I was able to do this, that he knew this book was in me, even when I didn't think it was in me, because the Lord knows us better. So please, if you can, buy a few. Give them to loved ones that aren't necessarily believers. Give them to your friends, because it contains a lot of incredible prophetic prophetic connections going back decades and decades in this nation that I think they will find fascinating. So the Revelationary War coming out April 1st. We're very excited for that to be coming out. And we give all glory to God for that. Donae Clement wrote two chapters in that book because her father, Kim, was a big part of this Revelationary War. And I wear his mantle. And so the Lord's instructions were to have Donae contribute to the book. And by the way, live this Sunday, I'm going to be on with Donae on her channel. So Donae Clement has asked me to come on live on Sunday in order to discuss what is happening prophetically right now. So just to tell you all of that as well. Tomorrow we'll be making announcements about where I'm going to be over the next month. There's going to be quite a few places we are going to be that you can come out where I have been asked to speak. So we're looking very forward to that as well. Mark your calendars for tomorrow night. We're going to be doing kind of a part two in continuing to talk about what is happening in this very turbulent window. So thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. God bless you. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6, Psalm 91. I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. There are other Psalms on the screen, 123, 34, 35, and 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I speak that Psalm a lot. We have to cleanse our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We have to remember that. Also, Ephesians 1 and 3, those scriptures from those chapters from the Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin, I say every single day. In fact, I have it on my bookshelf. If you could see it, I have the Lion's Army there, that book. And then I have as well the Believer's Authority. And on the other side is Eric Metaxas's book, Letter to the American Church, as well. Also, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, Jesus taught his disciples to pray this way for good reason. The order of that prayer has keys having to do with our prayer life. So we should be incorporating that into our prayer life. We're coming before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we have to remember that. So we encourage you in the word as we leave tonight. Mark your calendars for tomorrow night. We're going to be back on live again. We have shorts out as well, so please go check them out. And please share this broadcast if you can. Like and subscribe. It very much helps us. We thank you all for tuning in tonight. We love you. And we will be back on tomorrow night. Keep the faith. Hello, everyone. Amanda Grace here. So, as many of you know, Dr. Mark Sherwood and Dr. Michelle Sherwood of the Functional Medical Institute are mine and Chris's doctors. And so I went to Dr. Sherwood with a problem that I was seeing, not only with what I was going through, but with what other women were going through concerning their metabolism, concerning energy, concerning their hormones. And so we put our heads together, and we are very happy now to finally be able to present to you Rapha for women. Rapha means healer in Hebrew, so it is an ode to the Lord because he is our healer. He put things in the earth that help heal us. And so Rapha is a product that was created for that. It also helps by helping with a healthy metabolism and natural hormones, as well as it helps balance fatigue. It helps with weight gain, night sweats, mood swings, blood sugar issues, and more. It is all natural. And I find more and more people are going into the natural arena in order to find solutions to issues that they're going through. So if you'd like to learn more, you can go to www.arkofgrace.org/ministry-partners to learn more about Rapha today. God bless. Hey everyone, Amanda Grace here. If you are looking for advice on financial matters, if you think gold and silver might be right for you, go to bh-pm.com today. Andrew Sorcini of Beverly Hills Precious Metals, who has been on Ark of Grace many times and loves to answer our viewer questions, is here with his team to answer all of your gold and silver needs. Whether you want to buy gold and silver, whether you have questions to see if it's right for you, whether you are looking to roll over retirement accounts. Go to bh-pm.com today, and Andrew and his team will be more than happy to assist you with all of your needs. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK. Hey everybody, Amanda Grace here. Many of you have been curious and have asked about what skincare products I use. In fact, we have had many emails come in about this, so I am happy to be able to now share this with you. This is Givaderm. It is all natural. It is food for your face. Wonderful skincare line owned and operated by believers. I love that these products are nourishing. They are free of chemicals and they are safe for not only me, but also the animals. And as you know, we have many of them running around here at the Ark. So I don't have to worry if any of them were to accidentally get into them. What goes on our skin goes into our bodies. So it's important to put on our skin what nourishes and heals. Kind of like what we should put in our soul, what nourishes and heals it, which is the word. Our bodies are temples. We have to be careful what we put on them and in them. My favorite products are Uplift and the eye cream, which I have right here. However, I use their entire line. It is amazing and it is very effective. So if you'd like to learn more or contact Givaderm, go to arkofgrace.org/ministry-partners, and you can use promo code R10 for a 10% discount.